Are you ready to live the all-in life? Then welcome to the All-In Podcast Show, sharing the defining moments of impact-driven entrepreneurs, industry pioneers, and transformative leaders as they showcase their defining moments and went all-in on their business and found true success. From the early steps in their journey to the moment they truly took their commitment to their life and business to another level, we'll give you the insight you need to go all-in on your dream life. Now here's your host, Daniel Giordano.
Hey, welcome to the All In Podcast show today. I'm excited to share with you a story and a message from Lance Kreck. Excited to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, give me a little bit of history on you, like where you kind of grew up and what your family upbringing was. I kind of, you know, always like to hear where people come from.
Well, I was in the military family, so I was born in Germany, spent a lot of my time traveling as a kid, finally ended up in Texas, did all grade school through there, finished graduated high school, spent 1 year in college and then joined the Army right after that. Went to Hawaii, lived in Hawaii for 4 years, then got stationed in, lived in Georgia, North Carolina, Florida after that, finished there. Did 13 full years in the Army, then was medically retired, then decided to jump into the hemp and cannabis space, like it seems like a lot of people, but all pre-farm bills. So, you know, kind of jumped headfirst into that. And now I'm in green, sunny Oregon now.
Okay. Green, sunny Oregon. All right. That's good. So, so I'm curious now, because obviously you're going from military life into entrepreneurial world, right? So, and then I think sometimes people struggle with like, what do I do, right? Or what could I do, right? How did you pick that industry?
Well, I picked that industry because back in 2016, my daughter was born and I was living in Florida at the time. And that was when the cannabis initiative came across for the voters in the state of Florida. And I voted yes for Proposition 2. And I was lucky enough to have two healthy children at the time. Mm-hmm. And it really struck on my heartstrings, I guess you could say, it pulled on my heartstrings to see the parents that weren't so fortunate with the children that were struggling with autism and even the adults that were struggling with the grand mal seizures and Alzheimer's, and seeing how cannabis in the anecdotal form was actually, facilitating the well-being or the turnaround for all these ailments that a lot of adults and children were suffering with. And it just really made me kind of just reevaluate priorities, if you will, and decide that I wanted to help as much as I could. So I went all in, for lack of a better term, I went all in and decided to get out of the Army and jump into the cannabis space.
Okay. That's awesome. So, I always love to hear that background of like, what was the drive for it, right? Because sometimes we stumble into things and other times it's like, you're very clear on why you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so tell me a little bit about like, so you made that decision, you started that. So what did that look like? Because I think a lot of times people see maybe the success you have had, right? And not see the challenges maybe that you've gone through to get there, right?
Oh yeah. I would say I was kind of blind to it as well. In the Army, just being kind of that warfighter, if you will, that gunslinger, and then going to the entrepreneurial side. So pretty much going from boots to business, if you will. No formal business training, no nothing, just pretty much hit the ground running. Really kind of jumped into, the Gary Vaynerchuk scene for a while, this 2014, 2015, kind of getting into that. And just kind of the entrepreneurial motivational side just kind of, is motivating me to do this for myself and also my family. And if I was going to do it successfully, I was going to do, I didn't want to do it, half-assed. So, right. I was at the tip of the spear. I was in the infantry for 4 years and then I went to the Green Beret side of the house for the last 7 years of my career. So the special operations side is something that, I'm very familiar with. And, a lot of guys that I know still in to this day have gone, higher to, other units, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't do things half-assed. And so I wanted to jump in pretty much, just all in and figure out as much as I could. So long nights on YouTube, long nights on audiobooks and Audible, just kind of soaking up as much as I could. The learning curve was very steep. It was very steep. So kind of taking it in stride, opening up the retail store, figuring out that cannabis was a little bit more red tape than the hemp industry was at the time. So it was just a lot of learning. That's what it was. It was just a lot of you know, late nights, grinding it out, and pretty much the execution. If you know, like, you're all in or you're all out. So I was all in, and I wasn't going to stop until, you know, it was a thing. And finally it came to fruition. And the hardest part was, you know, keeping it afloat. And then COVID hit. And so, you know, a lot of people are suffering, and that's a real, you know, the struggle is real on that one. So the struggle is real for anybody trying to start a business. If you, you know, all small business owners and entrepreneurs know that, you know, an idea is great, but to actually get it to execution and to the ground floor is completely different.
Right. Yeah, that's good. So, and I like how you use your military background, right? You know, to say it's like, you know, obviously you're committed and you need to be committed in those life or death situations, right?
Pretty much.
So it's the same thing carries over in real life, right? So from the moment you started the business, so what side of the business are you on? Like, is it, you know, is it retail stores or is it, you know, the manufacturing or?
So that's a good question. So with the licenses and the requirements that are needed from the regulatory side, the retail store was the quickest to the, with the least barrier to entry, if you will.
Right.
So that's where the retail store came in, and then working with a lot of brands. A lot of companies were still trying to get everything figured out from the processing, from the manufacturing side, whether it's hemp textiles to finished products, et cetera. So I wanted to kind of be that end point to the user, because I was really, you know, as a parent, I could convey that message easiest to the end, you know, to the customer, instead of, you know, on the factory floor or, you know, from a farm or something like that. But it gave me the chance to really see how the industry worked from the end point and everything behind it. So from seed to sale, it was a very eye-opening experience, got me in touch with a lot of people across the industry. And that's, you know, kind of where sharing all that knowledge into the Hemp 101 podcast and getting in touch with a lot of other people that are in the space in hemp and cannabis and sharing their origin stories as well. So being between the customer and everyone else in the industry, I guess you could say, has really kind of put me in a pretty good vantage point, if you will.
Right. And I think, you know, I mean, there's a number of different ways we can go with this, but I think there's also still that stigma associated with this industry, right?
Very much
where,
so.
Yeah. So can you speak to that a little bit? You know, for the people that are in that place where, like, you know, is this really a thing, right? You know, that, you know, what are the benefits, right? Share that with people, because I think it's important.
I think, I guess to liken it to something that's really kind of hitting home with a lot of people now, I would say it's like COVID. It doesn't really affect you until you experience it personally. Mm-hmm. If you know someone with COVID, if you know someone who's died or been affected by COVID, then it's different than the people who are just not wearing masks, or if they decide to wear masks, however you feel, what side of the fence, you know, you're on that topic. Cannabis is, I would say, kind of similar, because it's looked at from, I would say, the younger generation. This is just my personal opinion. I would just say from the younger generational standpoint, it's more as a recreational substance. But from the elderly and the parental standpoint, it's a lot more medicinal, and especially for the veterans. PTSD is one of the qualifying, medical conditions, if you will, for the state of Oregon to get a medical card. And it's been that way for pretty much every other state. You know, chronic pain, PTSD, cancer, et cetera. So it's been kind of at the forefront for, I guess, the medical community as of late. And it's really kind of dipping into the pockets for the pharmaceutical companies. And so that's where that stigma is really kind of still lacking, because there is no science. There is no data, if you will, for the United States to really kind of provide that to the end user, that I say the consumer, but the patient. You know, the people that need it, the people that want it, that actually are getting relief from it. Because right now it seems like it's a self-medicating industry and a recreational industry. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, people use it in moderation. You know, there are people out there that don't like THC that use CBD. So, you know, it's right now a lot of self-discovery for a lot of people. And I think that that's the stigma, because they can't go to a medical professional and say, hey, doc, what's up? What can I do? What can I take, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're just lacking in that space when it really comes down to it. But the stigma, it still is, you know, it's looked at as illegal. It's looked at as a cash crop for the private prison industry. And that's just my personal opinion. So, you know, they're still locking people up for that. And if they take away their main, you know, source of, well, I wouldn't say main, but, you know, a large source of incarceration, you know, people, if you will, then, you know, it's really kind of dipping into a lot of people. And that's where the stigma is still kind of, you know, in force in states like Texas, because They don't mess around with Texas. Pretty much anywhere through the complete center of the United States is still cannabis is you know, looked at as the devil. So it's a geographical thing. It's a generational thing. But also it's just, it's a plant at the end of the day. So I think it's just how you feel about it. If you need it in your life, it's just like cigarettes. It's at the gas station. If you buy it, you do. If you don't, you don't. It's there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a great perspective, because I think a lot of times, you know, we look at that and say, and just like anything else, it can be abused, right?
Exactly.
You know, even if it's pharmaceutical drugs for pain or whatever, like, you know, people abuse that. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing.
And it's
thing
not
here.
As addictive as all of those. And it's a natural substance, you know, it comes from the earth.
Right.
I mean, from a woo-woo standpoint, kind of, you know, a hippie standpoint, I'm very conservative, grew up in the South. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just having an open mind when it comes to it's out there, it's just like pharmaceuticals, you know, people that get prescriptions right after surgeries or, you know, getting wisdom teeth pulled. They're just throwing medications at these people just because, you know, it just puts a Band-Aid on the symptoms. They're not actually going for the root cause of the problem. And I think that's what cannabis is kind of really scaring a lot of people in the medical community, actually going after the root of the problem.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely interesting. So from the perspective of what your goal is, right? So obviously you made a huge leap, you know, moving to where you move so that you can do this to have the mission that you're after. What's the bigger vision for you?
The bigger vision is to, wow, that's a good question. My big vision would be to pretty much see cannabis like beer and alcohol. Just you can ship it across state lines. It's going to be in the corner store, or you know, an alcohol store, kind of, you know, like a cannabis dispensary, kind of like it is now. Regulated, taxed. I think the taxing is a little extreme, just because, you know, it's a new source of money for the cities and states, right. And so they're pretty much jumping on it, and they know that people are going to buy it. Right. So my big thing is, just access to pretty much anyone and everyone that wants it, because there's no reason for, you know, as someone in a state that can't get it because it's illegal, and someone in the other side of the country can get it because it's legal. They can just literally walk into a store. So I guess you could say I'm just an advocate for just global access, I guess you could say.
Right. Yeah. And just what you shared there, like, I do know people that have moved out of the state, right? You know, from here, from Florida to Colorado. Because they had medical issues, right, that, you know, they needed help with their, mainly importantly with their kids, right? You know, it's like people will do anything for their kids, right? More so probably than they would probably do it for themselves, right? We do it first for our kids.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely, an impactful thing that, you know, apparently from what, you know, I haven't done research in this space, but I know it's, you know, I always say it's like, well, God made it for a reason, right? Of course we abuse it just like everything else, right?
You're exactly right. And it's not the end all be all. It is there. And that's my thing. My biggest thing is, it's there, you know. It's just like I said before, it's like cigarettes at the convenience store, the grocery store, you know, the liquor stores. You go in there to get it if you want, and that's your thing, then go for it. You know, just let cannabis be something that is accessible to the people that need it. Right. And so, yeah, that's my big thing. It's safer than alcohol, you know, hands down. Everyone knows that alcohol is dangerous.
Right.
Getting people drunk behind the wheels, having bars open in Oregon, they start selling alcohol at 7 o'clock in the morning. And they stop serving at 2 o'clock. So it pretty much just gives people 5 hours, you know, to sleep it off and then start back over again. So it's a huge regulatory mindset that needs to change, I think, from the state level and also the federal level when it comes to cannabis, how easily accessible alcohol is when they make it so hard for people to get cannabis when it's a natural plant and it's not going to hurt them as much as alcohol, I would venture to say. But I'm not a medical professional, so I can't diagnose, treat, or cure.
Right. Right. So tell me, from the perspective of, when you made the decision, so someone's listening to this now, right? And they're maybe in that transition, or they're, you know, trying to do something, right, to pursue their passion or the thing they're excited about, right? What would be some words of wisdom that you would share with them?
If they're trying to start a business, if they're trying to go the entrepreneurial route, I would say just cover all your bases. Make sure you know the numbers, make sure your cash flow is good, where your money's going, quantify it, make sure that the money, you pretty much understand the flow of the money. The money comes in, money goes out. That's the nature of business. I would just say, cover all your bases, make sure you're passionate about it. because the space is getting very red ocean, if you will, kind of like the red ocean, blue ocean. So it come up with something innovative, but not everybody is, because it seems like everybody's, you know, just trying to make a buck to survive these days, because, you know, jobs getting swept out from under, you know, normal people's feet is really hard. So, you know, pursue what you want. You're going to learn, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly about it. Just like, you know, everyone else that started a business, probably not going to be successful in your first run. If you are, more power to you. If you're not, then just keep trying. Keep executing, keep with it, you know, just like the name of the show, exactly what you said before we got on. You know, if you're not all in, then you're all out. So, you know, if you're going to jump all in, then jump all in. And if you're not, so be it. You know, that's life. People change.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, as we get to wrap here, how do people find out more about you?
Well, you can check out the Hemp 101 podcast on all major platforms. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, same as Joe Rogan, the new home of Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. The YouTube is kind of lacking, but primarily my main platform is LinkedIn. You mm-hmm. can find me Lance Krek, K-R-E-C-K, right there. You can also find the Hemp 101 podcast on Instagram. I deleted Facebook, so I'm pretty much done with that app mm-hmm. and that platform. So it was just... didn't really find too much value of it, but LinkedIn and the podcast is pretty much how people can get a hold of me.
Okay, perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and the impact you're having in the world in a totally different way. And I'm, you know, glad I got the opportunity to share that message with the world, and appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it.
We want to thank you for being all in with us on today's episode of the All In Podcast Show. For more information and resources based on today's discussion, as well as ways to connect to our guests, head to allinpodcast.com. That's available exclusively on allinpodcast.com.